All right, we're going to need to pick it up a little bit today, okay? All right. Give me a ho, ho, ho. All right, we're getting there slowly. I have my own little mini tradition. Once during the Advent season, I like to read letters to Santa from children. And so I picked some to share with you today. Dear Santa, how are you and the reindeer doing? I am doing fine, and I want a new football game and a football because my little brother always tries to steal mine. He may look sweet, but he is the devil. Love, Evan. P.S., how do you get into my house on Christmas? The next one's a sign of the times. Dear Santa, please text my dad. He has the whole list. I love you, Tennessee. Dear Santa, I wanted to tell you I am fine. I don't know, but if you could possibly make it so I could turn into a dragon, please! Or a pet dragon. But either one will do, though I would like it if you can make me, turn me into a dragon. P.S. Have a happy Valentine's Day. Dear Santa, I need a new skateboard for Christmas. The one I got last year crashes too much. Band-Aids would be okay, too. Love, David. Gotta love some of these. Dear Santa, I flushed my brother's head in the toilet, but can I have a puppy? Dear Santa, even though I know the truth, I want you to know how much I enjoyed believing in you the past 10 and a half years. Love, the new Anna. Dear Santa, we left some cookies and milk on the coffee table. I hope you enjoy them. Do you know what I want? I want a Broncos football helmet, an iPad, Legos, neckties, a snow coat, and an electric scooter. I have been very good. I picked up 12 piles of dog poop and made $6. Peter. Dear Santa, Mommy says you only bring presents for the good little boys. That's not fair. Brian. And these last two, I love. They're very, very different from one another. Dear Santa, me and my little brother have been trying our best to be good, but first things first. I would like to be an elf on the shelf. I have been practicing. I can sit on the shelf for like a half an hour so far. And my brother Michael would love to be a reindeer. In fact, he is practicing right now. He could fly 2 inches. And then he goes on to say what he wants for Christmas. Dear Santa, this is what I wish for. Love and joy, not for toys or video games. All I want to see is my family and friends. Some people say you're not real, but I don't believe them. I hope you're happy at the North Pole. Hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Love, Tommy. From the mouths of babes. Many years ago, I was confronted with one of those dreaded situations in life. It's when my daughter Lori, who was a very little girl at that time, came up to me and she popped the question, Dad, is Santa real or just make-believe? And when she asked me that question, it was in the hallway, and I know that my wife was right behind me, and I turned around to get some support, and like Houdini, she vanished in thin air. I was on my own to face this question. Dad, is Santa real or make-believe? And the first thing that I was going to do, I was going to go to that place when I asked that question of my mother as a little boy. I said, Mom, is Santa real? And my mother, in her wisdom, said, well, I'm not sure. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But I do know one thing, if you don't believe, you don't get any gifts. So I immediately switched gears and said, I believe. I'm just asking this because Dennis, who was my older brother, told me that Santa wasn't real. It was all a big fat lie. So I got back to the right side of the ledger and I got my brother in trouble at the same time. This was a really good day in my life. But I couldn't not be truthful with my daughter. The day that my girls were born, I made a vow, I made a pledge, a promise to them that I would never tell them something that was untrue. And so I said, well, Lori, if you're talking about somebody who always wears a red suit and he lives on the North Pole and he has flying reindeer and they go out on Christmas Eve and they deliver toys and presents to all of the children in the world, then no. And it pained me, it killed me as I saw the veil of sadness come over her face. So then I went on to try to explain to her, but Lori, think about what really brings you joy at Christmas. Think about what you think is the whole picture. And yes, it's true, the presents come from mom and dad and maybe from uncles and aunts or whatever. But the magic of Christmas, the message of Christmas is real. It's special. And so I really worked hard, not so much to try to eliminate Santa from her life, but to embellish that reality for her in some special way. And then my parting words to her were, and if you breathe a word of this to your sister Lisa, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And so she marched off. She was with a big smile on her face. At least she had the knowing that she now knew something that her kid sister did not. I love Santa, and I am absolutely a believer. And I am a believer in all of the hoopla that surrounds Christmas. I love the incredible decorations. All of the cities and villages dress up, decorate the trees. I love the bright lights. I love the ornaments. I love bringing a freshly cut tree into the house. I love the music. I love the carols. I love the eggnog. And I love the cookies. Maybe a little too much. And I love the Christmas movies that all come out at this time of the year. Somehow all of these things together bring it to life. And the miracle of Christmas becomes incarnate. And the magic of the Christmas season in the Christmas message becomes Christmas with skin on. It becomes something tangible, something we can touch. And that's really important. We need that. And yes, it may be the case that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. But if we're going to have a human experience, we need to have a human experience. That means that there have to be things in our lives that we can reach out to, that we can hold. So every time we get together on Sunday, we have our little mini ritual where we meet and greet one another and we shake hands or we hug and we tell somebody we're really glad to be with them. Or maybe at this time of the year, we wish them a Merry Christmas. Or maybe even do something bold and say, I really care for you and I love you. That's really important. That's what makes a kiss so incredibly precious. Years ago, I was watching an old Paul Newman movie, and I couldn't even tell you what the name of the movie is, but the scene just kept with me. In the scene, he was with his love interest, and she had just finished expressing to him how much she cared for him and how much she loved him. And he looked at her with his Paul Newman baby blues and said, "You need the words." And I remember watching that and having that experience. Yes, yes, Paul, she needs the words. We all need the words. That's what makes the Christmas story so incredibly awesome. It brings us God with skin on. Not a God that's out of reach, sitting on a throne somewhere, up in the clouds, up in the heavens, but a God that we can relate to, a God that had to grow up, just as all of us have had to grow up, a God that had to sleep and eat and drink, just as all of us have to sleep and eat and drink. A God that experienced pain, physical and emotional, as we learn in the gospel stories. A God that was vulnerable. God with skin on. Emmanuel, God with us. Joy to the world. And it's the same thing that make gifts, presents special too. You know, and when we go about giving somebody a gift, and I'm not talking about, well, I got Harry's name in a grab bag, I got to go out and find something for him, or so-and-so gave me something last year and I didn't have anything, I'm going to be prepared this year, I'll find something for him. But when you really give a gift, when you invest in it, maybe you make the gift, or you don't mind fighting the throngs at the mall to find just the right thing to say what you want to say. And that gift becomes an extension of who you are. It comes from your heart. With that gift, you're giving a part of yourself. And so that's why we even wrap those gifts up and try to beautify them even more and tie a bow around them to say, here, this is for you because you're in my thoughts. More importantly, you're in my heart. And those gifts need to be received in the same spirit. They need to be received in gratitude, in appreciation, in real thanks. And they need to be opened in that same spirit, in a spirit of joy for what you've been given. Gifts are not always treated that way. Gifts are not always received that way. Back when I was in the workplace, we had a four-story warehouse, and one section on the fourth floor, about half the size of the platform here, was just a mountain of stuff covered with canvas tarps. And everybody knew that these were belongings of the owners, and nobody really knew what was in there, and nobody ever touched it. And then one day, the owner of the company, the lady who owned the company at that point, she was 73, 74 years old, she decided she wanted to go up there and take an inventory, see what was in there. So she dragged a couple of our warehouse people up there, and they were confronted, no exaggeration, with 50 years of dust. When those poor guys came back downstairs, they looked like they had been working in a coal mine. But they uncovered this, and they dove into it. They found wedding presents from 50 years ago that still had the original wrapping paper on it. And when she was finished, she said, okay, put it back. And the tarps came back on it and covered it. And there it would sit for another 15 years until she made her transition, and it was left to her son to deal with the whole pile that was under there. What a waste! But we have lots of reasons for not opening our gifts. The world is constantly telling us, don't open your gifts. The world is constantly telling us, don't believe in this Santa Claus. And don't believe in what he represents either. It's not real. And then the world gives us an added kick and says, besides which, you don't deserve it anyway. You're not worthwhile. Back when I was a little boy in Catholic grammar school, it was drummed into us repeatedly. We needed to do absolutely everything we possibly could, day in, day out, to be as much as possible like the person of Jesus. But keep in mind, you're never going to get there fully because, after all, we are sinners. The Christmas season, the Christmas message, tells us it's okay to believe. How many times in life are we confronted with situations we don't know which way to turn? We don't know what to do. You know, either there's an issue with us or with our children. And we pray, Lord, please give me some directions. Show me the light. Point me where I need to go. Give me a sign. Well, my friends, if you're looking for a sign, this is the perfect time of the year to do this. Look around you. Allow your eyes to feast on the incredible decorations and the ornaments and the lights. And open your ears and allow yourself to hear the beautiful carols that are playing on the radio stations and everywhere else. Enjoy the aroma of freshly baked cookies or the smell of a freshly cut pine tree. Taste the sweetness of a candy cane. Give somebody a hug. Wish them a Merry Christmas. And maybe you're sitting there saying, you know, Reverend Mike, you got it all wrong, because the whole thing has just become one big ball of commercialism. And you're right. I'm not naive, okay? It's all about the almighty dollar in some ways. 'Tis the season to make a buck. But I also believe, I know, that we are immersed in spirit. We are swimming in spirit. And God is more than capable of taking that ball of commercialism and using it as an invitation to us, presenting it to us as an opportunity for our own spiritual growth. 'Tis the season. It's a time of the year in which even the world relents and allows us to open up, to manifest ourselves, to display ourselves. We celebrate when we see the Christmas spirit in somebody else. And people will ask one another at this time of the year, have you got the Christmas spirit yet? Are you feeling it yet? You know, in the government, there are windows in which you enroll for certain programs. There's a window in which you enroll for Medicare. There's a window in which you can enroll for health care under the Affordable Care Act. Well, this is the Advent season. This is the time for you to step up and enroll and say, yes, I'm eligible. I qualify because I am a divinely loved son or daughter of the Father. And I want the benefits that are coming to me. I want to enjoy the fullness, the incredible richness of Christmas. 'Tis the season. 'Tis the season when somebody could accidentally step on your toes and you could respond to them with a smile. And 'tis the season when you could take the grudges that you've been holding in your heart and let them go and replace them with forgiveness. 'Tis the season when you could take the hurts, the real honest-to-goodness hurts that you've experienced in your life and replace them, dare to replace them with things like love, things like joy. It is the season when you can go to sleep at night as Ebenezer Scrooge with a bah humbug on your breath and wake up in the morning renewed, full of love, full of life, full of joy. Wake up in the morning as an angel. God's gift to you is who you are. Your gift to God is what you become. What you do with this incredible gift of life. How you unwrap your spiritual gifts. The day that you were made incarnate, the day that you came into the world, the day that you were born, you won the spiritual lottery. Don't be afraid to cash that lottery ticket. And all you have to do to cash that ticket is be who you are. Let that Christ light shine. And maybe you're thinking, you know what, Reverend Mike? I've been there, I've tried that, and all that happened is that I got kicked in the teeth. No, thank you. And yes, this is absolutely going to happen. You know, we get disappointed at times in our relationships, at our jobs. Sometimes we get disappointed even when we extend a simple hello and a smile to somebody. And so when this happens, you have to go back to that Christmas story. You know, that and appreciate the circumstances in which Jesus was born in the world. Christmas is celebrated throughout the world. And throughout most of Christianity, it's all about commemorating something that happened 2,000 years ago. And we commemorate the birth of Jesus as well. And we also acknowledge that it's a time that the Christ consciousness came into the world in a very special and unique way. But in unity, we take this a step further. Because by virtue of our second principle, we affirm that we too share in that incredible divinity that was his. And it's a very challenging, it's a very bold statement on our part. And to dare to live it is difficult. But again, go back to the Christmas story and those circumstances that unfolded. And Jesus came into the world and was born in a stable. And he slept in a manger. A manger is nothing other than a feeding trough for the animals. And so he came into the world under the most humble, meager, and vulnerable circumstances. Your strengths lie in your weaknesses. You know, you could take a look at things in your life that you're not pleased with, that you're not happy with. And you could say, you know what? I believe in the Christmas story. These things do not define me. This is not who I am. And you can make a decision to do something about it, to work on these things, to grow. And it doesn't have to be an Ebenezer Scrooge thing. It doesn't have to be an overnight thing. You could take things slowly. The important thing is that you're moving. Go back to the one letter that I shared. I want to be an elf on the shelf, and my brother wants to fly like a reindeer. And we have been practicing. And maybe at this stage in your life, you could only fly 2 inches, maybe less. But if you work at it, maybe next week, you can add another half inch to how far you can fly. And who knows just how far you could fly after 6 months or a year if you really are practicing the message of this holiday season. There's kind of a cynical expression that you hear from time to time. Christmas is for the kids. But there's a bit of wisdom in there. There's a bit of spiritual wisdom in there. When Mary was pregnant with Jesus, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth at that time was pregnant with her son John the Baptist. And the story in the Gospel of Luke tells us that when Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, the child inside her leapt for joy. Each and every one of you, I don't care if you're 6, 66, 106, you still have that child inside of you. And if you're open and receptive to hearing that voice or seeing those lights or smelling a certain aroma, the child in you is perfectly capable of leaping for joy and basking in the incredible power, beauty, love of this wonderful holiday season. And now, because you were a little bit lame, when I first asked you to say ho, 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 you got to pay for it. Okay? You know the refrain. 'Tis the season to be jolly.